Hi, I'm Donna and I'm an alcoholic. It's a pleasure to be here again. This is my 10th week. Well, I missed a week, but we're on step 10. And I just want to welcome those that are counting 2 days. And I believe it was Ashley, Mike, Laura, and Heidi. Before I get into step 10, when we read How It Works, what we're dealing with, and let's remember that we're dealing with alcohol. It's cunning, it's powerful. And it's baffling. Without help, it is too much for us. So we're glad you're here. And the thing I find that being saying that you have 2 days, whether you have 2 days back, 5 days back, that's the thing that you've got to keep doing. Like you've got to keep telling on yourself because this thing loves when we're shameful. It loves when we're in fear. So please don't hesitate to speak out loud where you are in your recovery, because that really helps. So I'm here to talk about step 10. I've got like 20 something minutes. So wow, we get to step 10 and it says continue to take personal inventory. And when we were wrong, properly admitted it. So there's a lot that has shifted within us that all of a sudden, we're taking our own inventory and we're not taking other people's inventory. And that's all I did all my life. I was so focused on you because I was so convinced that you were my problem. And I was never going to promptly admit I was wrong. If you brought it to my attention, I would say, I was only joking. Or I would say, well, why you can't take a joke? Like it was crazy. Like I could never really admit, you know what, I said something that was wrong. I would flip it on you and say, get over it. Like, why are you so sensitive? But something changes and I think it's what we see in step four. I think for me, not only do I see my own defects of character, but I see the defects of character of humanity. I get to see what human beings are like when we're not tapped into the goodness within. We're selfish and self-centered. With us, it says that we're self will run riot. We may be a little bit more selfish than the average person, but if you drank like me, I was a bigger liar than most people because I felt that I had to justify why I wasn't showing up in my life. So I lied a lot. I was unaccountable a lot. And so something has happened really powerful that all of a sudden, like, I'm willing to keep the focus on me. And I remember Rashid, one of my sponsors, would say, Donna, get off the people. And so I'm going to read something out of the big book in step 10. And for those that are new, please get somebody, a sponsor, a teacher, a guide that can take you through this big book because these are the directions on how we recover. And so when we get to step 10 in the big book, it says, this thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along life. So what's this thought that brings us to step 10? Well, it's in the previous paragraph when they talk about the promises that happen to us as we start making the amends. And it says, we will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. We finally, suddenly, we realize that. And so now, step 10, I'm willing to continue that relationship in step 10 because I'm a big book girl and I love the way that this book is written. It says things are going to disappear. Things are going to slip away. Things are going to change. Things will leave us. Well, it sounds to me that there's a power in my life that is doing something I could never do. Like I could never have self-pity disappear. Like I was always in self-pity because I had to play the victim because I needed you to feel sorry for me because I thought I needed people in my life for me to be okay. So playing the victim was right up my alley. My outlook changes on life. I mean, I could never change my point of view. I was so stuck in what I thought. And so as I start seeing these things happen, I'm willing to live. And you're going to hear people say, I'm living in steps 10, 11, and 12. Well, why are they saying living in 10, 11, and 12? Well, if you think about it, we've all lived our lives feeling separated from one another and separated from power. And so all of a sudden, I realize that I'm living in this oneness. I'm living in this relationship. So now I'm not feeling like I'm at odds with you. I realize that we are connected. And I see that I have some of the same behaviors that you had when I did my fourth step. I was able to be in an intimate setting with another human being in my fifth step. I mean, you can't get any closer with another human being when you start telling all the things that you've been hiding from the world and you get to reveal that. I mean, that you can't get any more intimate than that. That's more intimate than most of my relationships. I did very well in relationships that were physical. I didn't do very well with relationships when it came to emotional relationships. And it's interesting because I didn't have the ability to communicate. I didn't have the ability to be honest. All I'm doing is I'm making the other person feel that there's something that they did. I don't know how to talk about what's wrong with me. So now all of a sudden, they're like, oh my God, is it something I did? See, I can see now how my inability to connect with people. All I really did was drag other people in, and my problem began something that they have to deal with. I'm making them suspicious. I'm making them jealous. I'm making them, wow. So, this is the thing. That's why we start taking our own personal inventory, because if I don't like the way people treated me when they were asleep, and now that I've been awakened, I realize I don't want to go back to being inconsiderate and pretending that your feelings don't matter. I used to pretend that your feelings didn't matter, but I can't do that anymore because they do matter. And so, what do I need to do? I need to continue to deepen this relationship so that I can have this new outlook. Everything is new that we do here. See, I didn't expect to have a profound alteration to my reaction to life. I just knew that August 5th, 2000, I was just exhausted. I was 44 years old, and it was like the last time I wanted to only have 50 cents in my pocket. I mean, that was the one I was like, I can't do this anymore. But I didn't expect that I'd be faced with this proposition about God. Is God everything or is God nothing? What is my choice? I'm like, damn, I didn't even know that I was going to come up in here and choose that. But then I come in here, and what keeps me here, and you can see it when you come into these meetings, the welcoming. This is a wonderful home group. I can see why I see the same people here every week. You feel welcomed. And so now that you feel welcome, now you're going to sit down and you're going to hear some people speak that have been here longer than you, that identify with the problem. We all had to deal with that thing that was cunning, baffling, and powerful, and that mental fog settled down. And no matter what I didn't want to do, I did it anyway. I didn't want to drink. That mental fog settled down. And all of a sudden, I can't think about, oh, wait a minute. I said I never wanted to drink again. All of a sudden, I'm drinking again. And half the time, I didn't realize I was drinking until the drink was in my body. It was like, oh, crap, here I am again. And it's like, what the heck? I'll just continue to drink because at that point, now my body's craving it, sucking it down, sucking booze down like water. So, how do I get from that life to a place that if I pick up a drink that accidentally that I don't realize has booze in it, all of a sudden I recoil from it. Well, damn, how did that happen? How did all of a sudden the mere taste of alcohol makes me push back like it's like I'm about to die? See, I think we don't even recognize that something is happening to us because that never used to happen to me that I would recoil from alcohol. Oh my God. So I don't know about you, I want more. I want more. So now that I've been awakened, see, I was so asleep to life, I couldn't even tell when I was being impatient. I couldn't tell when I was about to be jealous. I couldn't tell. I just thought, whatever feeling came, I ran with it. If you did something that I wanted to do, but you did it better than me, I just automatically was jealous and allowed myself to be jealous. But I get to see today that that same jealousy doesn't feel right. See, because we start discovering spiritual principle. And not only do we discover the words, we discover what they feel like. All of a sudden, I can feel what connectivity feels like, and empathy feels like, and happiness feels like, and peace. So when the old belief, it says we have to let go of these old ideas or the results are nil, it's my mind will always see something. You'll say something, you'll do something, and it will remind me of some person that maybe sounded like you that I was pissed off at. And all of a sudden, I can feel the tinge of some old belief. But guess what? We have the power to pause. See, I never thought about pausing when fear cropped up. I've mastered fear. I've mastered doubt. I lived my entire life worrying. But something happens as we go through these 12 steps, this program, and we realize, no, we, no. If I suffer from 100 forms of fear, I learn to pray 100 times. And if I pause, if I keep pausing, guess what? If I keep pausing, my now becomes wider or longer. Every pause is an opportunity to be in the now, and I pause, I'm in the now, and pause, I'm in the now. And then all of a sudden, I learn that I can be in the now. I read Eckhart Tolle in the beginning, right here, right now. I remember people that had been here for a long time before I got here would say, right here, right now. I had no idea what they meant, but I would say it. They said, act as if until you become. And I would say, right here, right now, right here, right now. And my mind was all over the place. But when I did what they did, I went through these steps. I was able to pause. So, what is the thing? So, I pause and I turn from the thought because it's a lie. I don't have to be jealous of you. I'm connecting with you. So maybe instead of being jealous, maybe I can admire you. Maybe I can be happy for you. Maybe I can learn from you. See, I didn't want you to think that I wasn't as smart as you, so I would never let you know that I admired you. But see, now today I can ask you, yo, you do that so well. How did you learn that? I can be inquisitive because I'm not threatened by you. As soon as my ego is not in control, I think I don't know if it was in this meeting, and I realize it can be so minor. I can be at my desk at work. And at work, people come to your desk, right? If you came to my desk and interrupted me when I was busy, I would turn with this And I realized it was because I wasn't in control. I wasn't expecting you to interrupt me at that point, and I got agitated. See, we're able to understand the behavior that we were asleep to. And because I know that there's nothing that you did, because I can see it on your face, see, we are more connected than we think we are. Because how is it that I know I can look at you and I can sense that there's been a shift in your energy? Because my behavior affected you. And I can say, oh, wow, you know, I'm sorry. I used to say I'm sorry a lot at work, a lot. And there's no shame in my game. I used to be too afraid, too felt like, you know, I don't know why we act like it's beneath us to say we're sorry and apologize. Now, there are some times in step 10, where it says we pause and we ask God to remove it. See, my mind does not care if I am awakened to these defects of character. It's like, whatever, okay, you see it. So my step 10 includes, I go back to 6 and 7. Remember, I told you when we were in step 6, it's like, okay, God, take this from me, because I realized I don't need to be manipulating to live. I don't need to be dishonest. I don't need to be conniving. And God says, okay, let me take those behaviors from you, but I needed you to see them, because when other people tell you about yourself, you're not listening. You think they're judging you. You think they're criticizing. So this whole deal, this 12 steps, is for you to see you without relying upon me. And this is the best that you can do. And I realize, wow, this is not how I want to be. But every now and then, I get an experience with the behavior I saw in step 4 and talked about in 5s. And so now I'm in step 10, but I go back to 6. God, please remove this and show me how to be. Because it's for me, these spiritual principles are a new way of life. I wasn't practicing honesty on a regular basis. I practiced dishonesty. And I think the reason why we fall back to the old beliefs is because we've mastered them. But now we get an opportunity to feel a little uncomfortable until we can master honesty and master patience. I have to be willing to sit in some uncomfortability in this new life, because the transformation is on the other side of the uncomfortability. And so now, because I've experienced impatience in recovery and know that that's not how I want to be, and I kept turning, sometimes I can pause before I actually like full blown, and then after a while I just become a lot more patient without any effort. Now, there's some times that I don't pause. And I don't know if I have anything to do with it, or maybe I was not supposed to pause because I was supposed to feel what anger looks like towards another human being. Because I'm telling you, I feel when I'm angry and I've said something harmful to you, it feels different. And I don't know if sometimes, God teaches me the errors of my judgment, so that I realize, you know what, I don't want to make that a regular behavior. So what are we doing in step 10? Because now I'm living in, not outside, and I'm living inside out. I'm one with, I realize it says it in We Agnostics that the fundamental idea of God is in every man, child, and woman. That's even helped me to not judge. Whatever you're doing well, whatever you're doing, it's still the gifts that you got from your creator. You might not be relying on God, but it doesn't mean that it's not God in you. And so I'm able to squash my judgment and realize that God is in all of us. For those of you that are new and you're still questioning the God idea, I was like you, but I was curious about the God idea because I knew that something powerful had happened to deal with this cunning, baffling, and powerful alcohol. I knew that I did not stop drinking, so I was willing to say, okay, maybe there is something to this power, to the point that now I can talk very freely about God and hope that the way I talk about it is not making you put your hands on your ears, but maybe you can listen with an open mind. And so what happens when we tap into this power? We get strength. We get inspiration. We get direction. We get knowledge. And we get the power to live and grow. Well, I don't know about you, but that's what I need in my life. Because when I'm not firmly grounded in this spirit within, then I feel shaky. The certain circumstances in life just whip me around. We're going to have certain circumstances. We're going to have them. But for me, if I don't have a place to go for safety, for comfort, I'm going to be a mess. I'm going to go right back to worrying. I'm going to go back to needing. I'll be codependent. I'm going to demand from you, which in itself is very selfish because you have your life to live. But I wanted you to live your life and my life. I wanted you to love me, but I'm not even loving me. How does that work? And so my deal is to pause as often as I can pause to the point that we start just being. I think one of the biggest gifts I got in recovery is the ability to be. And it's only two letters of the alphabet, but it took a journey to learn how to be. And that's really our prayer. God, show me how to be. My mind always needs me to do something. And when my mind has me doing something, trust and believe I'm not doing a lot of pausing. I'm reactionary. I'm driven. I have no patience. I was even instructed early on, and it's something that I do still to this day. When I'm asked a question, I give myself permission to sit with the question. And because I no longer need to be the great big such and much and think that I need to answer right away, I can even say to you, you know what? Let me sit with that and I'll get back to you. I never used to be able to do that. Because if I sit with it, I'm sitting within this intuitive thought. Because most of the times when I would make these rash decisions, it didn't even feel right. But I didn't know that there was any other way of being. I didn't know about this new life. I didn't know that I can be still and that there is this intuition, that there is this power, that there is this guidance, that there
Two
is
minutes,
this
please.
love that was always with me. But it took me to live my life like I was dying with alcohol and other mood-altering drugs so I can at least bow my head enough to say, okay. And then the same thing has to happen in areas of my life because in step two, we make this choice. Either God is everything or God is nothing. What is your choice to be? And I realized that most of my life in early recovery, I said that God is everything, but I was living my life like God was nothing. How do I know? Because everything that God was nothing turned into a big box of crazy. And as I go down this path, I realize because the definition of choice is two reasonable options, just as it's not, I don't have a choice to drink today because it's not a reasonable option for me to drink. It's also not a reasonable option for me to say that God is nothing. And so for me, that whole proposition has changed to God is everything or God is everything. And I have to realize that the great negotiator wants to say, but then what? But what if? And you know what I'm learning to say? Even if. Thank you. My name is Don, and I'm an alcoholic.